I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start with scripture in Psalms 94:7. It says, "Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." As I thought about this and I meditated on this passage of scriptures, the first thing that I thought was, how foolish. How foolish to have a thought like that, that God doesn't see. Well, if you read on that, you can read it, but the argument even was, is the God that made ears unable to hear, and is the God that made eyes not able to see? Well, surely that's a good argument for the God that's able to make those is definitely able to use them and see. But I thought about what's behind this? Why wouldn't you want him to? They didn't want him to. That was what's behind it. They didn't want him to. And so they projected that, I think, to the idea that he doesn't see this. And if he does, he won't regard it. In other words, it's not important to him. Or he won't pay attention. Perhaps his head's turned. Or whatever it is. Do you know that there is an element here for us to understand, because I don't believe anybody's really immune to it. You know, the root of all of this is man's desire for his own way. That's what really was behind them saying that the Lord doesn't see. Because they wanted to have their own way. And this is something that has been around for a long, long, long time. The desire to have my way. I run into it, and I'm assuming you do too. We run into the idea of my own way. I want my way. You want your way. We all want our way. And it started all the way back with Adam and Eve. The Lord come by and just simply told them that there wasn't a whole list, a whole book. It was just one small little thing. And he said, don't eat of this tree. Of all of it you can, but of this one, don't eat of it. But Adam and Eve, something was in there that made them want their way. They wanted to, God told them a way. Very simple way. Wasn't hard to understand. And yet in that, Adam and Eve, they started this thing off. And from that point on, everybody's wanted their own way. Everybody wants their way. Eve comes along and there it is. Pretty simple. She could have took God's way. But she had a way. She wanted her way in this whole thing. And so I want to talk about it tonight. I want us to explore it. I want us to think about it in the terms of my own life. And where, if it's been around and they did it, well, I wonder if it's possible that I would put my way up against God's way and do. I want you to think about this, because it's everywhere. It's in all kinds of things. I want to put this to your thinking a minute. That all false religions, all false notions, all false things is nothing more than a deliberate attempt or an attempt to get your own way. Think about it. There is a religion or religions that have doctrines that says things like this. As long as you confess, go to confessional, then you can make it right through just confessional. Doesn't say that you do any different. You know, that's nothing more than making a way for me to do what I want to do. I can live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as long as I go to confession on Saturday, confess what I'm doing, then I can pick up Sunday and start doing it. And I get my way. And all I do is make an attempt at the end of it to sometime make myself feel good about it, justify it, and that. And that is a religion that we can all do it our way. We can live however we want. We can do whatever. Then there's other religions that have it maybe even better than that. They'll say that once you're saved, you're always saved, and that's all there is to it. And you know what that doctrine does? It lets me have my way. I can do that, and now I'm fair. I can do it. I can justify myself about it, and I can talk bad to you. I can go to any kind of a thing I want to. I can feed my flesh all I want to. I can go to the furthest extent I want to. I can do anything I want to, and I can have my own way. That's all. I gotta just get my own way. There's a scripture in Proverbs. Oh, let's look at that a minute. 14th chapter of Proverbs. It's a familiar scripture to us. 14. Let's see. I'm not sure I got the right one. 14 and 12, I think I'm looking. That's it. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Well, it puts some definition to this. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end of it's death. But wait a minute. That's not the way I define my way. I don't define my way as ending in death. I have other definitions to my way. My way is maybe a more exciting way. My way is it's a funner way. My fun's a freer way. My way is just got more liberty to it. My way is more beneficial to me. My way is different than, I wouldn't say that my way is the end, that ends in death. It's the Lord that said my way ends in death. There's a way that seemeth right. And this is I want us to consider, because we all have a way that we want to do it. And we all have a way of trying to get to that in some way or another, to try to get the do it so I can have my way in this. I'll twist, I'll justify, I'll do whatever I can to get my way. I want to do it my way. And there is a way, and it seems right. And in my mind, I'm fairly intelligent. I can consider some things in logical order. I can see some things, and this makes sense to me. So I think I better follow this. This makes total sense to me. But you know, when I start doing that and seeing what intellectually makes sense to me, the problem that I get into is that if I'm going to read this book, it crosses up that every once in a while. And when I think that my way would be the best way to handle situations, I'll read something else in there that'll say it's altogether different. It looks to me like that I need to plant my feet square and stand on my ground right here and buck back, and I'll read a scripture that says that Jesus humbled himself, become obedient, and even to the death of the cross. And now I'm standing there saying, well, now my way just isn't measuring up very well. So now what am I going to do to be able to have my way and justify this scripture? Because I want to do it my way. You know what? Lord, help us. There is a way that seemeth right. And I don't think that that was meaning that there's just this one thing out there that's a seem right that everybody's following. I think what it means is that everybody has a way, their way, that seemeth right to them. And that way is not God's way. We need to follow God's way. We need to give ourselves to the ways of the Lord, and it'll cross us at times. And it may even lead us to poverty. It may lead us to afflictions. It may lead us to be humbling down. It may lead us to those ways, but that's the way that's right. And we won't choose that. I can tell you right now, in my flesh, I won't choose those things. If the Lord let me come to me and said, Marty, I'm going to let you choose your own way, I'd say, Lord, I don't want to. I just don't want to. Every time that I ever tried it, I made a mess of it. Everything that was my way, I realized it my way, the end of my way's death. Lord, I don't want my way. I want to be able to have the grace to go your way. I want to be able to accept your way. And down through the history of mankind, one of the things that you'll run into quite often is they didn't want to do it God's way. They wanted to do it their way. We could go through the scriptures we mentioned the other day. I think about the children of Israel, and they come down to the time that the Lord had led them, and now it's time to cross the Jordan and go over into the land of Canaan. And there was giants over there in walled cities, and God said, go by faith and go over there and conquer it. That was God's way. So they sent the spies over there, and the scripture doesn't say this, folks, so I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that there was anything wrong with going over there with spies. But they'd have been better off if they hadn't. You know what I'm saying? They would have been better off instead of even starting down the line of man's thinking, man's ways, or whether we're going to get go over there and encourage ourselves because we're bigger or better or able. They should have just got in God's way and went on and done it. But instead of going in God's way, they started flirting with their way. Okay, let's send some men over there. What difference does it make what you find? You can go ahead and go over there and find that the cities are walled, and you can go over there and see that they're giants and all those things. But when you go over there and find it out, then what are you going to do? If you're going to obey God, you're going to go ahead and go. So why are you going over there and spy? I say walk up there by faith and go on God's way. But you know, they started allowing the enemy to start talking to them. They started to want to have their way. I want to know, you know what they wanted, you know what their way was? We'll accept what you got for us, Lord, as long as it's already took care of and we haven't got anything into it. Do you know God's way says that it is a pressing way?
Yes.
This is a violent, and the violent take it by force. Well, Lord, I'm willing to get down and pray. And I'm willing to get down again and pray. I'll even pray three times. But Lord, if you don't come, I'm going to give up on it. I'm not going to keep. And the Lord says, that's not my way. My way is put your whole heart into it and fight for it. Get it. And I'll be there to help you. But anyway, we don't want it God's way. It's going to have to come easier than that. So the children of Israel, remember the story, they end up not going over there. And got rebuked for it. And finally said that they were so much into it that they said, we'll go back to Egypt. God's got this great plan, but we're going to go back to Egypt. Do it your way. Do it your way. And finally when they said, okay, we've sinned, and so now we're going to go over. You go now, the Lord ain't with you. We're going to have to do it God's way.
Right.
Folks, listen, this is what's happened. If we accept the idea that God is, and that He is the God that He proclaimed Himself to be, He is God Almighty. He is God Eternal. Nothing can exist or consist or was made without Him. He is everything. And in that idea of everything, I think He's got the right to tell us what way to go. He's got the right to say, this is the way. Walk ye in this way. And when we accept the idea that this is God and we're going to do it this way, then all morality is not of our own opinion. It's of God's declaration. When God says something's wrong, something's wrong. He says something's right, it's right. We can try to understand that, but it isn't to our benefit to argue with that or come against that. We got to acknowledge. So what's happening in our world around us today, people don't want God's way. They don't want to say that this is adultery. They don't want to say this is idolatry. They don't want to say that this lifestyle is sin and against God and against nature. They don't want to say that. So, They say there is no God. That's nothing more, folks, than an attempt to do it their way. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. So I'm going to eliminate the idea of God. And therefore, there's this idea that there's just nothing's definite. Everything's just kind of relative, and there's nothing definite, and there's no God, and morality stems from our own thinking and humanity, and it's nothing more than an attempt for man to get to do it his way, to do whatever I want to in my way. I know God said not to eat of this tree, but I want to eat of it, and I'm going to do it my way. I look at it, and it looks good, and it looks like it'd be desired, and it's something that I want, so I'm going to do it anyway. That's what the seem right way does to us. And it comes farther than just atheists. It goes right down into religious ideas and religious things. Yeah, you can be religious, but it's almost all an attempt to justify ourselves and then go ahead and do it my way. I'm going to set up the church my way. You know, there's nothing. There's people that think if you put your name on the book, if all I got to do is put my name on the roll. If I got my name on the roll at the church, then I'm a part of the church and I'm okay. And all that does is let me put my name on there and do it my way. I will watch what I want. I'll do what I want. I'll go where I want. I'll be as mean as I need to. I'll cheat. I'll steal. I can do anything. My name's on the book. It don't matter now. That's not what it's about either. That's not God's way. And over it goes. And all of false religion, all of false notion is set on one premise. I'm going to try to make it till I can do it my way. I'm going to do it till I can live a life that I want to in the flesh and yet somehow be justified in religion. Well, that's out there. But do you know we can be guilty of that too? With the exceptions that we make. Jesus himself actually run into that. He told some folks one time, he said, you do by your traditions make void the word of God. You're doing your traditions, and where it was said that you're supposed to take care of your parents, you say, if I give a gift, I'm exempt from it. I can exempt myself in the word of God. And why? I want to do it my way. And God said this way, but hey, there's something that we can do better. I can do this. Hey, that we can improve upon it. We'll improve upon the Word of God, and we're going to do it our way. And so when it comes down, how many times do we want to say, the Word says this, but you know what? Maybe there's not a real application here to this now. Or maybe we can do something else with this Word so that I can have a little bit of liberty in here. You know, the Scripture says these things like, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Well, I know that was just talking about idols. I've heard that. Well, it was. It actually was talking about idols. That's what it was talking about. But you know, there's a principle there. There's an idea there that I will set no evil thing before my eyes. But if it's just talking about idols, the little statuettes, the little things, that kind of stuff. So it doesn't apply to me because I want to do it my way. But the end of that kind of a way is death, folks. The end of it's death. But I want to tell you something. It says the end of it is death, not the beginning. The beginning is the way that seems right. That's a seem right way. It seems like this is the way to do it. And so I can make exceptions for idolatry. I can make exceptions for adultery. I can make exceptions to the things that I want to make exceptions for because I want to do it my way. We want to do it our way, not the Lord's way. And in the Lord's way is life. The end of it is life. Sometimes there's a great sacrifice of this life, folks. Do you know that? This earthly life has to be sacrificed. In many cases, we have to give up something here to gain something more. Yes. Jesus said of himself, unless a corn of wheat fall, die, unless it fall and die, it abides alone. But if it falls and it dies, then it'll bring forth the center of itself. Sometimes there's a sacrifice of these things. It's hard to die. It's just hard to die. It's hard to die to the flesh. It's hard to die to these notions. Lord, help us. I want to look at a scripture Let's go to 2 Samuel for, or yeah, 2 Samuel. Well, there's a lot of reading here, so I'm just going to go through some of it. It starts in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, and it's the story of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David started going God's way when he was very young. It started building in his life a faith in God. And God worked with him and dealt with him, and he killed the lion and he killed the bear. He had faith in God that God then chose him, had the prophet come, and he chose him to be king, and he come up against the giants. We all know the story of him coming up against a Goliath, and he won the battles. He went God's way. Not his own way. He was willing to go God's way, and he was a great man of God. And he had his battles, and he won his battles, and he sang his songs to the Lord, and he was a special character in the Scriptures, and we take a lot of courage over the man. And he was a man that got victories. Well, then how did he get here? This is one of the biggest black marks in all, of all the sins that people committed. This is one of the worst. And this was a man that loved God and wanted the way of the Lord. And as I look at that, I can't help from saying he was a better man than me. And yet he got in a place. He got in a place here that he allowed himself to get in this place to where instead of wanting God's way, he reverted back to his own way. He wanted, folks, listen, he didn't want God's way. Or he struggled with it. He come to this point. Would you buy the argument that David at this point in his life did not know it was wrong to take another man's wife? No. Nobody in you are going to make the argument that he didn't know. He did know. He absolutely did know. And I can't help from wondering how he got himself there. And I also can't help from wondering if he didn't just flirt to start without the full intention of going all the way. Maybe he just started lending himself towards it, not knowing the power of his own will or his own flesh that was going to end up getting more and more, and the desire that would take him over. I don't know, but I know this. He was in a bad place and getting worse. He was in a place that he shouldn't have been. Then he went farther. And I say this, he didn't turn away when he should have turned away. He didn't find grace of God when he should have. He should have turned around and went and started singing some psalms, is what he ought to did. But he didn't go the way of the Lord. He started following the own passion that was starting to well up in him and build up in him. And he wanted his own way. And this is an incredible, incredible story of a man that was that strong in God, that in God, and what it teaches us is that he that thinketh he stand. Yes. Take heed, lest he falls. Folks, as long as we're in this life, we're going to have an opponent. That's right. This called self. The old devil's going to work on that self. And that self is forever wanting to rise up and have its way. And it will want its way against God and the Holy Ghost and everything else. It'll go against good sense. It'll go against good living. It'll go against everything. It'll want to rise up and do things that it shouldn't do. And I think everyone in here probably realized that battle. And here was David, and he got in that battle, and the story is incredible. It is incredible. He started off, he commits this act, and it was over, folks. It was over. Hid away. Just hid away. He took another man's wife and it was hid away. But God didn't leave it there. If you want to say it that way, it wasn't, there's no indication that he intended at that point to kill Uriah. There's no indications that he ever intended to marry Bathsheba. There's no indications that there was anything other than what it was right there, and that was the end of it. except circumstances and things that happened, and all of a sudden she sends word back and says, I'm with child. And it starts something still in motion. Whose way are you going to take? Did he not say that there's a way that seemeth right to a man? There's a way that seemeth right, that we have one life, folks. Let's live it to the most, and let's fulfill our desires and get the most out of life. That's the seem right way. It seemed like it was right. We can hide it. Don't need to come out. Nobody's going to ever know. It's fine. And God don't see. They said, God doesn't see. And the God of Jacob does not regard it. Oh, David, after all that you've seen and known and how God was with you, can you really believe that God's not going to regard this? But he got himself into a place. I'd come up short of saying everybody, but I'd be willing to say that most of the people in here tonight has had that kind of notion that God won't regard this at some point or another in your life. I'm not saying that you fulfilled anything. I'm saying the temptation to know that this isn't that big a deal and God won't regard this. Really? We have to think about that. This is my way I'm running, and this other is God's way. It seems so insignificant now, but the ways are the ways of death. It's going to end up in death. So, here's David. Send that, and now his mind's got to start turning. He wasn't that deceitful of a person, was he? He didn't intend on all this, did he? Did he intend the day that he was just lazying around and was indifferent and he saw, and he goes out and to get the breeze on the rooftop and he happens to see something that starts to lead him down a path? Did he know this path that he was going down? Did you know the path of your own decisions in your own ways? I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous way to go. You don't know tonight where your self-will will lead you. You don't know what one step after another is going to take you down a line that you think is going to be all right and this is the best way to do it. And sometimes there's even righteous intentions on it. Oh no, I'm king. You know what this is going to do to the people if they find out? Do you know how much the problems this is? Oh, do you know how much problems the church would have if they find out? Oh, my Marty, he ain't supposed to live better than that. And if a church finds out about this, it's going to be a lot of heartache and sorrow. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it is as we get in, and it starts snowballing and now he's going to have to cover this up? Because Bathsheba, Uriah hasn't been around for a while. Something's going to have to be done. You know the story. Without going into the details, going to have to do something. Well, it's an easy solution. Easy. Oh, okay, we got a solution. Good. We got a solution. My way, my way. My way is to go get Uriah and bring him up. That's my way, my thinking. This is what's going to solve it. God had a better way. Anytime. I'm going to tell you, the old devil's going to take us down a road of self-will and of our own way. He's going to take us down a road. I want to tell you, don't follow that path. If you found yourself going there, God's still got a way. God's got a way to change those kind of things. But no, so he starts and he gets Uriah there. And it's supposed to work out. The plan's foolproof. Except Uriah didn't play the game. It comes that he wouldn't play the game. So they had to step up the thing. Well, he's not going to play it this way. Let's get him drunk. And a drunken man is more likely. We can get him to do it if we make him drunk. So they got him drunk even. He still didn't play the game. And David's way keeps increasing. Going to have my way. We've got to get this took care of. And finally, what a scene. There's only one way to do it. And he sent a letter by Uriah. You know that he was so confident in Uriah that he knew Uriah wouldn't read that note. He had showed himself beyond reproach. And he sent a letter by Uriah to his own death. David, you're a rascal. You're a rascal. What a black mark on him. And he sent that down to Joab and tells Joab, put him at the front of the hottest battle and make sure that when withdraw yourself from it. Oh, he'll stay there and fight till he dies. You just take him up there. Word comes back to David. It's all done, David. You've got it done. It's took care of. Uriah has died. Well, immediately, Uriah's dead. Immediately, you can't have a reproach. We got to make sure there's no reproach on Bathsheba and what happened. So he hurries and marries her. Now it's really covered up and we got it. Nobody knows. Maybe Joab's got some kind of idea. Maybe some of the servants, but we got this all hushed. We got it all took care of now. And nobody saw it because God doesn't see and He doesn't regard. Oh, what a foolish idea, folks. You know, I preach a lot about personal relationship with the Lord. I just think that that's the whole thing in a nutshell. I really do. I think that the Lord came to die for us individually, and He wants an individual relationship with every soul, and I think that is the bottom line of what we're trying to do. And as I preach and reach out to others, and it's always mine, and when I have conversations with people at my house, and when I have conversations with people that I know, or if I meet somebody at a restaurant or whatever, the thing that I always tell them is, you need a personal relationship with Jesus for yourself. I'm not trying to get you to anything but the Lord. You know, that relationship with the Lord and maintaining that relationship with the Lord and living and going God's way on a daily basis, pursuing God's way, not my way, lay my way down and pursue a personal relationship with the Lord for me. That's the answer. That's the answer. Well, you know, the Lord is a merciful God. And this story of David, I just can't help from asking this question, and only God knows. Would David have ever dealt with that? Would he have ever have dealt with that? And he didn't deal with it so far. Would he have sometime broke down in tears and said, Lord, I know you saw that. I know what I've done. Lord, help me. You can't prosper and cover your sins tonight, folks. You can't go your way and prosper because your way is going to be death. My way is not going to end right for me. It isn't. It might seem right. It might seem that I make myself happy for a notion. It might seem that I have some excitement in life for a little while. It might seem like I like the thrill of it for a little while. But it isn't going to end that way. But God's the right way. Well, here's the rest of this scripture. Oh, where is this at? Somebody help me out here. It's where it says, I think it's the 7th verse of the 12th chapter. No, it's the first verse I want. It says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and it lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress it for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. Well, you know, this proves that David had a sense of justice. He had a sense of rightness in him. It was plain that he could plainly see the rights and the wrongs of the world around him. It wasn't hard to say that's wrong. That was a terrible, wrong thing to do. It was awful to do that. Well, then why is it that my wrongs is not as bad as yours? Because it's my way. That's why. My attitudes is not as nearly as ugly as yours. My way of thinking is not nearly as bad as your way of doing it. That's just the way that it is. Unless the Lord illuminates our thinking. I'll acknowledge to you, I need the Lord to help me with this if I'm going to do it right. I am biased by my own way. I'm biased by my own thinking. I'm biased by my own desire for my well-being of myself. I'm just biased naturally towards it. I got a way. I want my way. And I want it even in spite of God sometimes. Lord, help me to lay my way aside and take your way. Lord, illuminate my thinking. Help me to see that my way is a bad way. Help me to see that you have a superior way. You have a right way. You have a way that works. And in that way, there are so many things. Listen, folks, we don't... The Scripture says that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. We don't think like He does. We don't go... It's just we need the Lord to help us to see this way. And David said... His anger was kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. You know what? I can point to Catholicism. I can point to doctrines of from eternal security to once in grace, always in grace, and people that have the idea they can do anything they want to, and not have to follow God's way. I don't do it my way. I can follow all these things. In spite of the Scriptures that teaches us that holiness is the way, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of the enemy, might serve Him without fear before Him, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Well, so what? That the grace of God would appear unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, right in this life. So what? I can do it my way. Well, I'll repent once a week or once a month or once a year, and it'll be fine. Except for that ain't what the Lord wants. God's got a way. I'll do it my way. So I can point to all those things, but then I have to say this. What about us? Where is it in our lives that we're going to say, I'm not going to do it that way? I know the Lord says to leave your gift at the altar and go and take it away. I don't care about that. I know the Lord says to humble yourself down. Well, I don't want to do that. I know the Lord says to turn the other cheek. I don't want to do that. Then whose way am I taking? If it ain't God's way, I'm taking my own way. Because that way is just... That's just a difficult way. And so I'm going to improve upon that. I'm going to improve it upon my superior thinking. I know how to think this thing through. I'll do it my way. David recognized the man, but he didn't recognize himself. You know that it's possible that he thought he'd done that for good reasons. Maybe he thought he got caught up, and now... You know what? Now, instead of bringing it out, I think it'd do too much damage. Now I got to cover it. I mean, the people will be hurt. There's a lot of people that's been on my side and defended me, and I'm going to have to stick up there. So to bring it out would be just too damaging. He probably had a righteous cause in there. That's not the Lord's way. That's not the Lord's way. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto you thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Why, David? Why was you so interested in your own way against God's way? You know, there's a scripture that says that there's utterly a fault among you. Why would you not rather suffer wrong than to bring a reproach on the church, on God? Why are you so set in your own ways that you wouldn't want the ways of God to be lifted up? You know, that's utterly a fault of our desire for ourselves versus the things of God. We ought to want more clearly the things of God. There's another guy in the scriptures I want to look at just for a minute. His story is found over in the first Samuel. In the 19th verse or 15th chapter, this is where the Lord had sent Saul down to do some bidding of his. He was supposed to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And 19th verse says, "Wherefore then thou dost not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." We're going to improve upon what the Lord's way is. Now, the Lord said to go utterly destroy. That is pretty plain. He said, go utterly destroy it. But when we got down there and started considering things, you know, we looked at some of these animals here, and, you know, there was some prime stock there. This we looked it over, no blemishes on it, been real good breeding stuff. And so I think the Lord had it was an oversight here. When we looked at it, we thought we was going to go down there and there's going to be a bunch of scrawny stuff that you wouldn't want, and that's how it would be no sin. But when we got down there, Samuel, and started seeing this, we understood that the Lord wasn't talking about, and so we decided to approve of it. So what we decided to do is this would make a real good sacrifice for the Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a sacrifice. Come Sunday, I'm going to put a big offering in. I'm going to put a big offering in so that I can do what I want to do the rest of the week. And I'll justify myself good, and the Lord will accept me putting money in there. I'll take care of the work of the Lord. I'll send some money to missionary work. Or I'll go out and talk to my neighbor a little while, or maybe help him out in his yard a little bit, and then I can do whatever I want to improve upon God's things. You know, all of these things is nothing more than an attempt to try to get our way. I want to do it. I don't want to have to do it His way. I want to do it my way. I want some independence of this thing. I want some power of my own. I want to be able to make my own decisions, do my own things. It's the one problem with it. It's death, folks. It's death. Our ways always lean towards death. The things that we want to fulfill our own desires is death to us. The Lord hasn't done these things to penalize us. He done it because He loved us. He said, "I know my thoughts towards you. It's not towards evil, but they're towards peace. And to give you an expected end. Everything that I allow in your life for a reason, don't buck against it. Don't come against the things that I've chosen for your life. I'll choose somebody to come in and stir you up, and it'll do you good if you'll go my way. You have need of patience. Then let patience have her perfect work. Let her bring forth fruit. But I don't want that way to have to put up with this for more. I'm going to stop it." Okay? But you're going to miss out on the blessings of God. You're going to lose out on life. Oh, I want to tell you, this world is busy, even in the religion. It is busy going its own way. Hold it a minute. We should be going God's way. Oh, Saul. God doesn't see. And He doesn't regard it. Samuel says to him, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The Lord said to do something, and you're going to make up with this? Well, I'm not even putting myself nowhere in the realms, but I know if I told my son, I want you to go do something. Go in and get some wood in, and And he comes back and says, Dad, I want to give you this gift. Here's this present. Well, thank you, son. Go get the wood in. You know, I mean, that's okay. It's good. But go get the wood in. That's what I want. You want to give me a gift? Get the wood in. You want to do it? Be obedient. That's what the Lord wants. Acknowledging God's way is best. I will not murmur. God's way is the good way. God's way is the best way. My way is not any good. It'll never get me where I need to go. But Saul said, well, we're going to sacrifice. We're going to do these things. But this is the way the Lord explains it. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You know, that sounds real hard. It sounds real hard. Rebellion, witchcraft, idolatry. All those is real bad things. But you know, when you get down to the very core of what idolatry is and what witchcraft is, when you get right down to the bottom of what rebellion is, it's me taking my way. That's what it is. For every suggestion is, when I take my way is that I'm a putting it ahead of God's way. That I am saying I know better than God does. I want to do it my way in this. And the whole world is chasing its way. But I want to challenge us that's here tonight to submit ourselves unto God and take God's way in life. And I know there is a regular challenge, daily challenge, that comes along that I have to make a decision of what way I'm going to take. What am I going to do in this position? How am I going to respond to this? And when I elevate myself up above the Word of God, that is every sense idolatry. Idolatry at its roots is the worship of man over the worship of God. And you can go and see that in every sense of idolatry. You can go and see that sense in it every time, because in the idolatry, see, we don't already understand it really the way it is, and there was a lot of forms of it. But in the Old Testament scripture, in the Old Testament times, I've said it many times, what's the big challenge between the Lord and idols? I mean, they go out there and they cut down a tree. Somebody carves it into a form. Somebody else comes and overlays it with gold or however they want, whatever the form was of doing it. Somebody do it a stone or whatever, and they make an image out of it. And everybody knows the guy cut that. Everybody knows there was a hand that done that. Everybody knows that. And then they set it up as a god and give it certain supernatural powers and gives it a certain divinity that it can rule over certain things, and they'll sit there and worship it. And what's appealing about that? Nothing. Nothing's appealing about that. But that's not what it was. They ascribed to them the most lustful qualities. They had great big revelries and parties around the worship of that thing that was so sensual and so devilish and so exciting and so desirous. That's why they did it. And you say, well, why don't more people serve the Lord today? Why is there such a competition? Why are people serving the Lord? Because they're following the same gods. That's why. The idolatry is just as alive, it's just in another form. They done it with music. The music would raise an idolatry, tipples and around those things, and the music and raising it, and it gets the heart going, and it gets the beating and the pounding and all that. Anything sound familiar? Do you know they've done studies, and the very up-tempo music gets your blood pressures going up? Of course, we're affected by all those kind of things. God knows it. And that's why He said, follow me. Take my way. I'm going to just say tonight, it's a good way. I have never been sorry that I got saved. Not one day. Not one time. I'm not saying I haven't had my challenges, but I want to tell you, I am as thankful today as I ever was. I thank God that He gave me a good way to go. I thank God that I can have peace. I thank God that I don't have to go the way it does. And I said this many times, but my wife and I, we still do it on occasion. We're going down the road and we'll look over and we'll see a police car over there, and they've got somebody spraddled out and got him thrown up against the car, and I'll go by and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that He ain't got me thrown up on that car. Thank God that I ain't seeing old Dossie, a drunk, staggering down the road and bumping around." And I'll say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You got a better way than all that. I ain't running them down. They need the Lord. I'm just saying thank you for what you've done in my life. I can look and say I still got a wife. I'm so thankful that I ain't off somewhere and my marriage run. I'm so thankful for that, because I know what I would be without God. I know what my way would be. And I still pray regularly, and I tell my wife to help me. I don't want to end up being a cantankerous, hateful old man that can't get along with anybody at the end of my life. No, I want the Lord to help me. That's what I would have been, folks. That's exactly what I'd have been. But I want the Lord to help me that I'm not that. And I know that my way would end in that kind of a way, but I want to tell you, God's way is the best way. So maybe we could stand tonight and sing. Let's sing number 111. You pray for me.